again. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working.
You're always working.
You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. You never stop.
My name is Shege, and I serve on our worship team. We're so excited to have you here with us. We have some awesome events coming up this summer for you and your family that you would not want to miss. The community garden is looking for volunteers to water, weed, or harvest this summer. If you're interested in helping out, head to the Connect Lounge after the service and talk to Liz. We are excited to welcome Dr. Randy Clark for the Empowered Conference this weekend, June 11th and 12th. This will be a time of prophetic and healing ministry. But it's not too late to get your ticket. For a full listing of service times, session topics, and registration, please scan the QR code at the bottom of your program or visit our website at htchurch.com. If you want to know what it's all about, check out this video.
Change the way you're thinking. And why should we change the way we think? Upon what basis can we change the way we think? We need to think differently, which means that all things really are possible. Which means there's nothing that God can't do. That we're to praise the Lord, we're to command our soul to praise the Lord and thank Him for all of His benefits, who heals us, who forgives us of all of our sins and heals us of all our diseases. There's something about pressing against something and believing that it's possible before we see it in the natural. We're not going to bring your word down to the level of our experience. We're going to pray that you bring our experience up to the level of your word.
God bless you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Harvest Time Church. We're so glad that you came to worship the Lord with us today. Didn't our worship team do a great job leading us this morning? I should say, welcome to Harvest Time Church and Sun Tanning Parlor. A couple months out of the year, it gets a little sunny on one side of the sanctuary, and if the sun gets a little too much for you, if you get a little too warm, please, just feel free to just change your seat at any point if you can't take it. Some people like to work on their tan, you know, while they're taking in the Word of God, but whatever you like, we're glad you're here. We want to thank you for honoring the Lord with your giving. Thank you for your loving financial support of Harvest Time Church. The Bible says, bring your whole tithe into God's house so that there might be food in His house. We want to thank you for supporting the work of missions, the spread of the gospel here at home and all around the world on a monthly basis. Harvest Time Church supports over 60 missionaries and missions organizations, and remembering to give to missions throughout the year helps us to keep the gospel going. Because of social distancing, we are not going to pass an offering plate through the sanctuary today. If you did bring an offering with you, we have offering boxes at all the entrances and exits, and you can drop it in one of those boxes as you leave today. For those worshiping with us online, we welcome you. We're glad you've joined us online today. And for those of you online and for everyone in the sanctuary, if you'd like to make a gift online, you can do that anytime by going to our website, htchurch.com, and clicking on the giving link at the top of the homepage, and it'll guide you in making a secure gift online. Some people like to give by text, and the information for that is on the screen behind me. Just want to remind you, Dr. Randy Clark is with us this coming weekend, and I really want to encourage you, don't miss this opportunity. Dr. Clark is highly sought after all around the world. He's not able to come to us very often, and in fact, it's only because he's based in Pennsylvania nearby that when he has an open weekend, we're within driving distance, and that's how he can get to us. I want to tell you, the daytime sessions on Friday and on Saturday, not only will you hear tremendous teaching on the things of the Spirit, but in those daytime sessions, there's a little bit more time for personal ministry. Dr. Clark is going to lay hands and pray for people for impartation. There's prophetic ministry. And so if you can all join us either on Friday or Saturday, you can use the QR code in the bulletin to register for the conference. The evening sessions Friday and Saturday evening are open to everybody, and he will be sharing the word next Sunday morning. It's a great privilege. This coming Wednesday evening is our annual report. Once a year, our Board of Deacons and Trustees brings a report to the congregation of our ministry activity and especially our finances from the previous year. And so at 7 o'clock in the sanctuary, we'll be filling three seats on our Board of Deacons and Trustees at the annual report. And if you're part of our HTC family, we would love to have you join us. Just want to let you know that for the months of July and August, we are going to try out a summer schedule now that all of our seats are open. And isn't it nice to just be together again? And I don't know. I went in a few stores this weekend for the first time with no mask on. It's almost like you don't know what to do. So everybody's still feeling it out. But it sure is nice to be together. So we're going to go to two Sunday services for July and August at 9 o'clock and 10:30 a.m. 9 and 10:30 a.m. We're going to start that on July 4th, which is a Sunday. And after the second service, there's going to be a church picnic. And we'd love to have you join us. Just before we read from Mark chapter 2, want to take a moment and celebrate all of our 2021 graduates. We have a number of college graduates. Some have already graduated. We have high school graduates that are graduating this week and next week. So let's just take a moment. I'm going to read quickly through the names of graduates. And if I read your name, you're here in this service. We'd love for you to stand so that we can just celebrate you. So these are our high school graduates, 2021, Seth Bradford, John Carrera, Catherine Chin, Caleb Cliff, Jana Delvecchio, Diana Flores, Christiana Gentile, Jimmy Hall, John Kulak, Olivia Legion, Coco McDonald, Shege Mungai, who I really believe has a future either in broadcasting or preaching with that voice of his. Samantha Natale, Carly O'Neill, Ruth Schultz, Alex Shaw, Gabriella Shikapwasha, Jacob Smriglio, Matthew Tetro, Katie Tibbetts, Lucas Silva, and Arthur Silva. Graduating from college, Alexis Anella, Kristen Burleson, Noel Carlson, J.C. DeSantos, Marjorie Gideons, Kaylee Houston, Sydney Orr, Carolyn Kulak, Michaela Querfeld, And our own Anika Tilley graduated from Southeastern University and from Highland School of Ministry. There's Michaela over there. Come on, let's just celebrate all of our graduates. Let them know how much we love them and appreciate them. Listen, graduates, the steps of God's righteous ones are ordered by the Lord. And He will order your next steps. He will open every door for you. You don't have to kick any doors down. You don't have to push on them. God will open every door in your life. I speak that over you in Jesus' name. Look with me in Mark chapter 2. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about roof-raising faith. Roof-raising faith. Mark chapter 2. Going to start reading in verse 1 if you have your Bible or your Bible app. Mark 2, verse 1. The Bible says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and lowered the man on the mat that he was lying upon. When Jesus saw their faith, you should underline those words in your Bible, highlight them in your Bible app. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Let's talk about roof-raising faith. This year we're spending our Sunday mornings together looking at the matchless life of Jesus. And I want to tell you, in uncertain times, there is nothing better that we could be doing. Jesus said, "Enter into a student-teacher relationship with me and learn about me, and you'll find rest for your souls." That's my prayer for every one of us, that as we look at Jesus together, we'll find peace in our souls. John chapter 5 records that Jesus traveled to Jerusalem to attend a Jewish feast. When he returned to his new hometown of Capernaum, news got out that Jesus was home, and people flocked to Peter's house to see him. And then this squad of four men arrived carrying their paralytic friend. Jesus was moved by their faith, and their friend received an awesome miracle, two miracles actually. Beloved, can I tell you that what our world needs now more than ever is some friends like these? What the world needs is a few friends with roof-raising faith. That's what we're called to be. That's the reason we're here. That is our purpose. Looking at the healing of the paralyzed man, I want to share a few thoughts about that with you today. What the world needs now is a few friends with roof-raising faith. Couple thoughts. On your way in, you received in the program an outline of today's sermon, and if you like, you can follow that outline, watch the screens, listen, fill in the blanks, follow along. Couple thoughts about roof-raising faith. First of all, what is roof-raising faith like? What is roof-raising faith like? Roof-raising faith is compelled by love. Something that stands out about these four men is how much they loved their friend. They heard Jesus was home. They loved their sick friend so much that they went to his house, they picked him up on his mat, and they carried him across town. And when they met with unexpected obstacles, they didn't give up. For love's sake, they kept on persevering until they got their friend right in front of Jesus. And that love commitment moved Jesus, because that is exactly what he is like. The Bible says that God so loved the people of this world that he tore a hole in our roof, and he lowered Jesus into the darkness and the stale air of this world. He sent Jesus into our sin-sick situation. He sent Jesus into our neediness and our brokenness to fix it. May I tell you that God is still looking for a few friends? He's still looking for some people who will love others like he loved us. St. Paul wrote to the Galatians, religious rituals don't have any value to God. The only thing that matters is faith expressing itself through acts of love. God is looking for a few friends who will make a love commitment to do whatever it takes to bring someone in need to Jesus. He's looking for a few friends who will commit to intercessory prayer on behalf of someone else and won't quit. He's looking for a few friends who will extend love and care to someone and won't quit when obstacles arise. He's looking for a few friends who will open up their mouths and tell somebody about Jesus. He's looking for a few friends who will invite and invite and invite and invite again. Think about the people in your world. Think about your circle of family and friends. How likely is it that they will receive God's healing touch in their souls unless you exercise some roof-raising faith? What is roof-raising faith like? Here's another thought. Roof-raising faith is focused exclusively on Jesus. These four men were absolutely convinced that Jesus could help their friend and that Jesus would help him. They had no plan B. There was no other option. Their one and only hope was Jesus. He was their sole objective, so they would stop at absolutely nothing to reach him. Can I tell you, that is the very essence, and that is the conviction of saving faith. Lord, to whom else would we turn? You alone have the words of eternal life. Can I tell you, if we are really convinced that Jesus is the only way, we'll go to great lengths to lead our family and our friends into an encounter with him. What is roof-raising faith like? Here's another thought. Roof-raising faith acts. She sells seashells down by the seashore. Roof-raising faith acts. There were two obstacles between the paralyzed man and Jesus. One obstacle was the overflow crowd that filled the house and spilled out into the street. The other obstacle was the critics' circle, who had come to evaluate the doctrinal purity of Jesus. They actually interrupted the paralyzed man's encounter with Jesus. Mark says that these critics were sitting around Jesus. In Jewish culture, standing was the posture of learners. Sitting was the posture of a superior, of someone in authority. They hadn't come to receive from Jesus. They came to critique him. But compare their sitting to the activity of the four men carrying their friend, coming up with a plan when the way was blocked, climbing an outdoor staircase, crashing through the ceiling. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon relished the thought of all the dust and the debris falling down on the heads of the critics that were sitting around Jesus. Roof-raising faith is sacrificial. There's an emotional investment. There's a mental investment. There's a time investment. There's an energy and effort investment. Don't know if you've ever done demolition by hand before, but it's work, especially if you're in a hurry and trying to be delicate about it. Roof-raising faith is costly. This is a great story, but someone had to fix the roof afterwards. After the crowds went away, someone had to stay behind and repair the roof. Someone had to clean up the mess in the living room. Peter lived with his mother-in-law. After the crowds went home, he had to deal with her. Beloved friends, look up for just a minute. Would you look up at that big old roof over us? That roof cost a lot of money. And it's up there because someone you don't even know had roof-raising faith so that people could come here today and have an encounter with Jesus. You don't have to put a hole in our roof. We have 11 pairs of double doors around the room. You can get in. Roof-raising faith takes risks. Peter and Andrew and James and John were some big old boys, and there were more with them. The four men didn't know how they might respond to them tearing up their house. These four men didn't know how Jesus would respond. Would Jesus mind the interruption? Would he look up and say, "Ah, that's great, they put a hole in the roof"? They didn't know. What is roof-raising faith like? Here's another thought. This is my favorite part. Roof-raising faith is creatively determined. When there's a crowd thronging around Jesus, faith squirms and squeezes and wiggles its way through until it reaches him. If Jesus is engaged talking to somebody important, faith reaches out its little hand and touches the hem of his garment. When tested by Jesus, faith thinks fast on its feet and says, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." When the crowd says, "Be quiet," faith shouts even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus says no, faith makes a witty reply that moves his heart, "Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table." Roof-raising faith uses whatever it has to do whatever it takes to reach Jesus. The bleeding woman didn't have status like Jairus so that the crowd would part way for her. She didn't have physical strength to push her way through, so she used her emaciated size, her anemic self, to duck and to weave between people till she got to Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus couldn't see Jesus, and Jesus couldn't see him over the crowd, but Bartimaeus used his voice to get Jesus' attention. The Lebanese mom had no standing to ask the Jewish Messiah for a miracle, but she used her sharp wit to move his heart. The four men had no status. They had no powers of persuasion to gain access to Peter's house any other way, but they had brute strength, so that's what they used. Roof-raising faith is creatively determined. When the door is blocked, faith finds an outdoor stairway and it tears a hole in the roof. Roof-raising faith is messy. It's the opposite of calm composure and poise and dignity. It's human weakness and brokenness and needy desperation on display. It's that quality commended by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount called poverty of spirit. It is ugly crying for God's help. What a mess they made. By the time they got done chopping through the roof, they were a mess. Their paralyzed friend was a mess. The roof was a mess. The room down below was a mess, along with its occupants, including hopefully those critics. For those who were around when we built this place, I want to tell you, it was a hot mess. I don't mean a physical mess, it was a faith mess. It was not an elegantly executed enterprise. It was touch and go from the beginning to the end. And I got to tell you the truth, it's touch and go still. A lot of days around here, but how many of you know on the other side of the mess, we're blessed. Roof-raising faith is messy, but on the other side of the mess, you'll be blessed. What the world needs now more than ever is a few friends with roof-raising faith. Couple thoughts. What is roof-raising faith like? And then what does roof-raising faith release? What does it release? Roof-raising faith brings people to an encounter with Jesus, and Jesus takes it from there. The faith of the four men expressing itself in sacrificial love brought their paralyzed friend directly in front of Jesus. Their faith, listen, somebody hear me, their faith made possible what was impossible just moments before. Our faith expressing itself in sacrificial love will do exactly the same. The hard cases in your life, in your circle of family and friends, the ones who seem hopeless with regard to spiritual matters, who won't engage you in spiritual conversation, faith makes possible what was previously impossible. Beloved intercessors, don't you quit praying for the prodigals to come home. Don't you quit praying for the hard cases. Don't you quit extending yourself in friendship and in love to people. Don't you quit talking to people about Jesus. Don't you quit inviting. If they shut you out of their circle, squirm your way back in. If they insult you, make a witty reply. If they slam the door in your face, find an outdoor staircase and tear a hole in their roof. If you persist in love, God will open a way for them to have an encounter with Jesus, and He will take it from there. Listen, it's not up to you or I to make anything happen. In fact, we cannot. Heard a great speaker talking one time saying, look, it's God's job, it's the Holy Spirit's job to close the deal. All we need to do is put a pebble in someone's shoe. And you know, you can't ignore a pebble in your shoe, can you? You can't ignore it. All we need to do is plant a seed of the Word of God, a thought, a pebble. Put a pebble in someone's shoe, and the Holy Spirit will close the job. He'll do the job. All we have to do is lead people to an encounter with Jesus, and He will take it from there. What does roof-raising faith release? Another thought. Roof-raising faith releases God's forgiveness. The most important part of this story is what it teaches us about the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness is our deepest need and God's highest achievement. That's good right there. It's so good I borrowed it from someone else. I don't know where, but I borrowed it from somewhere. Forgiveness is our deepest need and it's God's highest achievement. Somebody listen, the grace of God is in this place today. The greatest miracle we could ever receive is not healing from an untreatable physical illness. The greatest miracle we could ever receive is spiritual healing. The greatest miracle we could ever receive is to have our sins forgiven and to be reconciled with God. The greatest miracle is for sin's penalty to be removed from us, along with the crushing burden that it puts on our soul. I believe that Jesus' first words to the paralyzed man are a mirror into that man's soul. His condition had left him alone and ashamed, an outcast. The Jewish people believed that if you were sick or something bad happened to you, that God was punishing you. You must have sinned. In the presence of Jesus, he felt conviction, just like Peter on the boat when Peter fell to his knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." I love the kindness of Jesus. He calls this man's son. St. Matthew's gospel adds the detail that he uses the words, "Take heart, be encouraged, don't be afraid." The greatest miracle that happened that day is not that the man walked home on his own two feet. The greatest miracle is that he walked home with a clean heart. Amen. The greatest miracle is not that he was freed from his sick bed, but that he was freed from enslavement to sin. Jesus said, "Anyone who sins is a slave to sin, but whom the Son sets free is free indeed." There would be little to celebrate if the man was only physically healed. What good would it be to enjoy a few decades of mobility and independence only to die and to suffer for all of eternity apart from the presence of God? King David wrote, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him." Can I tell you, we've seen God do some pretty extraordinary things around here, and I know that we're going to see him do some more. But the greatest miracle that could ever happen today or any other day is for someone to go home from here with a clean heart. Can't help feeling in my heart that somebody needs to hear this word today. You can leave this place today with a clean heart. You can leave this place set free from your sin and set free from all the baggage that you've been carrying around with it. Just one word from Jesus. "Son, your sins are forgiven. Daughter, your sins are forgiven." And he can take it all away. Addiction, life-controlling problems, tormenting thoughts. Jesus can take it all away with just one word. Listen, God is going to deliver somebody from anxiety in this place today. And that voice in your head that keeps you awake at night, playing over and over again, reminding you of every dumb thing you've ever done, that thing that just keeps you bound to shame, just one word from Jesus, and it's going to be taken away from you. Forgiveness is our greatest need and God's greatest achievement. Another thing we learn from this story, simple faith in Jesus is all that it takes. I'm pretty sure that this paralyzed man didn't grasp all the nuances of the incarnation and all the mysteries of the hypostatic union. I'm pretty sure we don't either. Pretty sure he couldn't defend the penal substitution theory of the atonement. Pretty sure he couldn't explain in what sense Jesus emptied himself of his divine privileges when he came to earth and what he meant when he cried the cry of dereliction from the cross, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" He couldn't explain any of those things, and none of that mattered to Jesus. All this man knew is that Jesus is the only one who could help him, and he believed if he could only get there, Jesus would help him, and that was enough for Jesus. Simple faith, simple reaching up, simple looking up to him, simple putting trust in him releases God's forgiveness. What does roof-raising faith release? Here's another thought. Roof-raising faith releases God's supernatural work. The Jewish critics got offended at the notion of forgiveness. Only God can forgive sins. They didn't know who Jesus is. We're not bothered at all by the issue of forgiveness. We take forgiveness too much for granted. We're bothered by the implication of this story that there is a connection between sin and physical illness. Even we Christians in this modern era, we like to keep science over here in this department, and we like to keep spiritual matters over here in that department. Our friend Dr. Randy Clark is going to speak to that on Friday and Saturday, and he speaks to that better than just about anybody I've ever heard, except maybe our own Pastor Nick. But for now, let's just say that there is a spiritual component to both illness and wellness, where Jesus is forgiving sins, where people are being reconciled to God, healing of every kind follows along in the wake, including physical healing. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just as surely as Jesus still forgives sins, he still heals sick bodies. Nothing, nothing, nothing is too hard for the Lord. When Denise and I were students and staff members at the Assemblies of God Seminary, the school hosted a week-long miracles conference. Some of the best-known healing evangelists in the world came to minister at that conference. We were absolutely swamped. We had far more people than the venue could hold. The last night of that conference was Benny Hinn. I don't know what you think about Benny Hinn. It doesn't really matter. All I can tell you is that he's a man whom God used powerfully in one season. But even then, Benny was not without controversy. Throughout the last day of the conference, there were hundreds and hundreds of people lined up, hopeful to get into that venue. There were people on sick beds. There were people who had traveled long distances in private ambulances. We sent teams of people out to pray with them and to just minister to their physical needs any way that we could, and to pray for healing. Because Denise and I were working the conference, we had access through a side door. And as the crowd started filling in the main venue, I remember it was sort of like a circus atmosphere. More than a few people reminded me of those Jewish teachers who came to evaluate and critique. It was clear that they had come to take in the show. But I noticed on the front row two of our professors, Drs. Paul and Dean Wood. Dr. Paul Wood is the man that God used to call Denise and I here to HTC. He's the man who walked into my office one night in April of 1996, almost 10 p.m., and said to me, "Glenn, I know where you belong, and where we belong is right here at harvest time." Dr. Paul and Dean were having a very different reaction than most of the crowd. They sat there with their heads bowed, and I could see their lips moving in earnest prayer. Sister Wood was critically ill, terminally ill, and she desperately needed a healing miracle. She needed a big one. The worship began, and I want to tell you, I witnessed things on a scale and at an intensity level that I had not seen before. And if you know my background, that's saying a lot. Thousands of people had dynamic encounters with Jesus that night, including the Woods. The last I saw them, they were laying out on the floor in front of the front row. Very shortly after that, Denise and I moved here to HTC. We never did know the end of the story until just 2 years ago. I was in Orlando with our son Ben at our denomination's general council. And in one of the sessions, seated right in front of me, were Dr. Paul and Dean Wood. They were just how I remembered them that night 25 years earlier at Central Assembly of God. I watched as they just loved Jesus in the worship and as they savored the ministry of the Word. I couldn't wait for the service to get over so I could greet them and to thank them for their role in bringing us here to harvest time. At the end of the service, we reconnected, and I reminded them of the last night of the Miracle Conference. It was the last time I saw them, and I found out that that was the night that Sister Dean received her healing miracle from Jesus. Listen, I'm not here to comment on the ministry of Benny Hinn. I'm here to tell you that some people showed up to evaluate and to critique, but Dr. Dean Wood showed up with roof-raising faith, and she laid hold of Jesus, and Jesus made her body whole. And here she is, 25 years later, still walking in her healing. And in that photo, she actually looked younger than she did 25 years before when she was sick. Our friend Dr. Randy Clark is coming this weekend, and I fully expect that people are going to receive healing miracles. But I want to tell you, it's not because of Randy Clark. It's because of roof-raising faith in Jesus. If you're in the fight of your life right now, use whatever you have to do whatever it takes to get to Jesus. I feel like I'm supposed to say this word for someone. People, so many people want to see the things that they saw in the Bible. They want to experience the things that they experienced in the Bible. If you want to experience what they experienced in the Bible, then you have to do what people did in the Bible. You have to press into Jesus. What does roof-raising faith release? Final thought, and we're done. Worship team, rescue me. What does roof raising faith release? Final thought. Roof-raising faith raises praises to God. To give evidence of that greater invisible miracle of forgiveness, Jesus performed a lesser physical miracle. He said to the man, "Get up, pick up your mat, go home." Bible doesn't tell us how long this man was paralyzed. The implication from the story is that this was not a congenital condition, but that it had occurred as a result of some kind of accident or injury or illness. We don't know. What's clear is he was paralyzed. And it doesn't take very long at all for atrophy to begin when you're immobile. But at the command of Jesus, his body snapped to attention, and it was flooded with supernatural strength. Bones, muscles, joints, tendons, nerves, they all fired to life. His heart, that had grown accustomed to pumping in the horizontal position, started pumping stronger as the man stood upright. After the ordeal he had been through and the forgiveness he had received, this guy wasn't taking any chances. He did exactly what Jesus told him. He jumped up, he rolled up his mat, and he walked straight out the door. He didn't pause for any congratulations. He didn't stop to sign any autographs or any books. He didn't apologize to poor Peter for the hole in the roof. He just left, and the place erupted in praise to God. And that is the goal of roof-raising faith, to bring glory to God the Father through Jesus the Son. Roof-raising faith. What is it like? What does it release? Come on, get on your feet and let's raise some praise to Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, right now. Come on, give him some praise. Don't give him a wimpy little praise. Give him a good praise right now. Come on, lift up your voice. Even when I don't see it, you're still working. Sing.
Stop working. You never stop. You never stop.
your voice. You are a way maker, miracle worker,
promise keeper,
light in the darkness, my God, that is
come on, even when I don't see it, sing.
Even when I don't see it,
come on, sing it.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop, you never stop working.
Come on, make it your confession.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
You never stop, you never stop working.
Come on, even when I don't see.
Even when I don't see it, you're working.
Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop working.
You never stop,
even when I don't see.
You're working, even when I don't feel that you're working.
You never stop
working.
Come on, you are
waymaker, miracle worker,
promise keeper, light in the darkness.
My God,
that is who you are.
Make it your confession.
That is who you are.
Come on.
That is who you are.
Jesus is releasing healing right now. That is who you are.
That is who you are. That is who you are.
Come on, that is who you are.
That is who you are.
One more time, that is who you are.
That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Oh, come on, give him a good praise right now in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hands, lift up your faces to the Lord. I just felt while we were singing that, and that is who you are, that Jesus was just releasing healing. Just one word from Jesus. Only say the word. Only say the word, and your servant will be healed. Come on, right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God says, I am the God who healeth thee. I send my word and I heal your disease. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I pray that you release healing for blood-borne illnesses. I pray that you'd release healing for skeletal and muscular issues in Jesus' name, cardiac issues, respiratory issues. Lord, release the word of healing right now in Jesus' name. Cancer, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You have no authority here. You go in Jesus' name. You pass, you loose, you untangle every cell in the bodies of people afflicted by cancer. You untangle those cells and you loose them and you leave those bodies right now in Jesus' name. Jesus Christ commands you, be well, be whole, be healthy in Jesus' name. Come on, lift up your hands. Just say, I receive it, Jesus. I receive it, Jesus. I receive it, Jesus. Shakatarabaka, shakarabaka, shaka. Come on, just worship him right now, would you, church, for just one moment? Shatarabaka, shakarabaka, shatarabaka, shakaraba. Come on, lift up your voice, worship him. Shandarabaka, shikiatarabaka, shaka. In Jesus' name. Shutarabaka, shatarabaka, satarabaka, sitiatarababa. Every tormenting spirit that just speaks into minds over and over again, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You have no authority here. You go. You loose the people of God. You untangle them and let them go in Jesus' name. Insomnia, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth. Anxiety, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth. Mental illness, bipolar disorder, in the name of Jesus, be whole, be healed, be well, in Jesus' name. Come on, lift up your hands, just say, I receive it, Jesus. I receive it, Jesus. You know, the greatest miracle of all is to leave this place with a clean heart. And I can't help feeling like there's someone that needs to receive that today. Just one word from Jesus. Just one word from Jesus. You've been walking around. I was praying last night. I know it's a little sensitive, but I felt like someone's been unfaithful in your marriage. Can I tell you, just one word from Jesus? He can take that away. He can cleanse it. He can remove it. The greatest miracle of all is to leave this place with your sins forgiven. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose sins God doesn't count against him. The way that we respond to Jesus is with a prayer of believing on him. I wonder if there's someone here today and you'd like to join me in a prayer of believing on Jesus. Just receive his forgiveness. If that's you, and I'm going to ask you right in your seat to just say a prayer of believing with me. If that's you and you'd like to join me in a prayer of believing on Jesus, would you just lift up your hand high where I can see it? If you'd like to join me in a prayer of believing in Jesus, lift up your hand real high where I can see it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I feel like Jesus wants to clean somebody's heart from racism, from racial prejudice, from racial hatred. Jesus wants to remove it out of your heart. Thank you, Lord. Come on, would you lift up your hands all over this place with me? I'm going to lead us in a prayer of believing on Jesus. And I want to invite you, if you're willing, to follow me in a nice, clear voice. Let's just put our faith and our trust in him. Lift up your hands. I'll lead. You follow. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your only son. Thank you for tearing a hole in our roof. Jesus, thank you for coming. You lived a perfect life for me. You died on the cross for me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you rose from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, wash me, make me new, remove my sin, take away guilt, give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. I receive you now as my Lord, my Savior, and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give the Lord a good praise in this place. Listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, we have a prayer room right across the foyer in that direction. Pastor Ruth and our prayer friends will be over there. They'll be happy. They want to just celebrate with you, pray a prayer of blessing. If you need healing and you want prayer for that today, you can go over to the prayer room. We have COVID-safe coffee and donuts downstairs. They're really good. So stop down for a little bit of fellowship. Come on, I want you to sing it one more time. Even when I see it, you're working. After you've sung, you can go. God bless you, everybody. Have a great weekend. Jesus, Lord, be with you. All right. I got so excited I forgot it's Communion Sunday. That's all right. Will you stay and receive communion with me? All right, let's receive communion. If you received a serving on the way in, you can take that in your hand. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, I received from the Lord that which I also pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night he was handed over took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you sent your son, Jesus. Thank you for his body and his blood that has purchased our forgiveness. We receive by faith in the cross of Christ everything purchased for us on Calvary. If your heart agrees, say amen, amen with me. Let's receive communion together. Receive the bread, and after you receive the bread, you can go ahead and receive the cup. Thank you, Jesus. After the bread, go ahead and receive the cup. All right, come on, give a great big thanks to the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus. All right, everybody, now you can go. God bless you. Have a great Sunday. Have a great week in Jesus.